Hi, you're listening to Go See a Show, the Off-Off-Broadway podcast. Earlier this week, I had the pleasure of attending the final dress of Recall, the new play from Colt Kuhr, and speaking with playwright Eliza Clark and director Adrian Campbell-Holt after the show. Take a listen.
And I'm glad that I get to speak with you. I thought I was only going to speak to Adrian, so...
Well, here you go.
Glad you're here.
You won the prize.
I did.
Just kidding.
And we're on stage. I mean, how could it be any better? So I read in the Colt Kuhr mission statement that it's about the present, that the company's mission statement is about the present. And I had heard in this interview that I listened to that you'd done before that you are not a member of Colt Kuhr, that they found you.
They did, yes. Adrian and I had the same agent, so that's how she read my play. And I was here briefly for like a wedding or something, and then she and I met and talked about it. And then we did a reading in L.A.
This is a very, it feels like it could be very much of the present, of a alternative sort of presence.
Yes, I like to write about the present without writing about the present. Like, I like all of the references to the present in the play. I have another play that I wrote that's sort of in the same vein. And, you know, in that play they talk about Oprah and things like that. But it's like a World War III situation.
Edgewise.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, look
at
you.
I did not see it, but I've heard about it. I wanted to. I remember seeing the poster and thinking, that looks really cool. So I'm sorry I missed it.
It's okay.
But what prompted this particular play?
This particular play, I was reading a lot about psychopaths, serial killers, and also I was reading a book that I forget the title of now that was about sort of sociopathy and the way that it sort of exists in our like daily lives. And there's some statistic that I'm gonna butcher, I'm sure, but it's like, you know, 4%, 1% of the population are psychopaths, but 25% of the prison population are psychopaths, and 4% of like the business world executives are psychopaths.
I'm thinking of I think you mentioned this in the other interview. I'm thinking of this American Life podcast.
Yes.
Where they
that I listen to.
This is a podcast, other podcast heavy podcast.
It is, so. Yes.
Let's give props to everyone else I listen to.
Yes. I listened to that, This American Life, about, you know, a year after I started writing this. It's like totally plays right into
Perfect.
What we're talking about. And I'm just interested, when I was reading about it, I was sort of thinking that, if this is true, if this is present in people when they're little, then why don't we, how can we deal with that? And the thing that's hard about it is that it turns out that psychopaths are only made better at being psychopaths by therapy, so they're not actually really treatable. That is scary. That's a sort of terrifying concept. And
so let's put it on stage.
Yeah, exactly. So, and then I think it's always interesting, you know, when a good idea goes bad. A good idea sort of runs amok, and I'm interested in dystopias, sort of as a genre.
And it's interesting in this play because it almost doesn't, in my perception of it, hopefully this doesn't reveal too much about me, it doesn't exactly go amok so much as it's just very uncomfortable.
Right. Well, that's good. I mean, I feel like it's too easy to have it be, you know, this doesn't work at all.
Right.
And so I think that's something that I really like about the play that is recent. It's like a recent rewrite that it used to be a little more cut and dry, and now it's sort of like the program works. But can you really make somebody human? Like, it is guilt and is shame and conscience really what makes us human, or is it something else? Is there some kind of other unquantifiable quality that makes us human?
These characters in your play are absolutely lovely. Everyone
Thank you.
Is super, super interesting.
Thanks so much.
Where Man, this is like one of those terrible questions to ask a playwright, but like, where do you even start to get people that felt so real? Every single
Thank
person.
Thank you so much. You can ask me that question anytime you want.
Well, I hate always opening up with, I was in an earlier episode where I asked somebody, so like, where'd you get your ideas? And it's just such a dumb question, but
well, no,
I don't know where
to...
Well,
no, it's not a dumb question, it's just a hard question to answer because oftentimes it's not something like... amazing. You know, it's like, I read an article and then I was like, that sounds cool.
Well,
or like,
and what you already gave us that answer, and that's a great answer.
Yeah,
but
it's an okay answer. I wish it was like, I hit my head and, or like, my mom's a psychopath. But my mom is not. My mom is a lovely, lovely woman. Yeah, I know. I always wish there was like some biographical, like interesting story, but the truth is that I'm from Connecticut and I have a very lovely family.
But what about these people? These are not your stereotypical suburban Connecticut people.
It's true, but there are stories within the story that come from my life, you know, that come from kids I knew. I love writing teenagers. Especially teenage boys. I feel like maybe I'm a 17-year-old boy at heart. And so I don't know, I feel for teenagers. It's like everything is on the surface, but there's so much going on, and they don't have the words for it yet. But
as a former 17-year-old boy, you know that guy really well.
Yeah, oh, thank you. Thank you so much. Yeah, like the story that he has in the play, I don't know, I mean, people aren't going to have seen the play probably, but there's a story that the boy in the play had threw his rollerblades down the stairs, and that's like the first thing that keeps getting him in trouble. And there was a kid I went to school with who threw his rollerblades down the stairs one time, and it was like a really troubled situation, and it was really scary, and that kid had sort of had a crush on me, and at the time I was experiencing this like real, this was fifth grade, and I was experiencing like a really weird period of like extreme guilt. So I would wake up in the middle of the night every night and cry and tell my parents that I had been mean to somebody in kindergarten and didn't say sorry or whatever, and I was just feeling that. And I think my classmates knew that about me, so this kid would steal things and give them to me and say, like, if you don't wear this necklace, you are mean. So then I would wear it and I would get, like, made fun. It was just really, it was, like, a tough time. But he was a really interesting person to me. I don't know. I mean, he just seemed, hit the rage that it seemed like was in him. And, you know, I also have now invented him in my mind. He's probably, like, perfectly fine now. But, or maybe not. I don't know. But in my mind, there was just so much underneath that gesture of like throwing rollerblades down a set of stairs because you were mad at the teacher.
The mother character is someone who I think any audience member's heart would break for.
Oh, thanks.
And I wonder do you have any a great story from your personal life about her? She was fascinating. I feel
Thank
like I've
you.
Met her.
Oh, really?
I you know, grew up in a small town, and there are certain people, like, I feel like I've met her. And
oh, good.
It's very interesting. So where did she come
well,
from?
Well, I'm also really interested in the relationships between parents and children, and what that, I don't know, like, what that bond is and what it means, and I think it's a kind of love that is primal and is inexplicable, really. I mean, I think romantic relationships are different because they are transitory and they like can end. But to me, the relationship between, I don't know, I just, Justine is interesting to me for that reason. Like and she's funny and she's like slutty and I like her. I don't know. I don't really have like any, I don't know. She comes from my brain, but I love her. Love that character.
She's super fascinating. Like I said, I feel like I've met her.
Thank you. That's
little
cool.
Little Tammy Taylor.
Yeah, also, like, I actually hadn't seen Friday Night Lights until
Oh, that's a
after,
reference to a television show. I've not seen this show. Oh. Sorry.
She's not actually really anything
not,
like Tammy Taylor because
no.
Tammy Taylor's, like a good Christian who, like, is really faithful to her husband. But there's a little
but
bit
there's
of it.
A, it's like, actually more the actress Connie Britton who is able to be like dirty and sexy and a good mother all at the same time.
Totally.
It's more like an actor.
Totally.
The new voice that has right. approached the podcast would be, you must be Adrian?
Hi, yeah.
Hi, I'm Robert. It's
wouldn't
nice
it be
to meet
funny
you.
If you were just like an audience member and just thought you'd jump in.
Hey.
So,
here are my thoughts.
Yeah.
So we're going to pause here to get rid of the random person that wandered in. No.
Right.
And Adrian, you're the director, correct?
Yes.
I'm saying your name right,
yep.
aren't I? Okay,
totally.
Just making sure. Thanks so much for doing this.
Thanks for coming.
Of course.
Yeah. Tell you, more people.
He's been very nice about the show, so I'm enjoying this.
Oh.
Awesome. Do you know one time a reviewer called me after a show that I wrote, the first show I ever did in the Fringe Festival, he called me and he said, I don't usually call playwrights, but I wanted to call you. And I was like, oh, that's so, maybe he loved the show. And then he said, because I wanted to give you a chance to explain yourself.
Oh,
and I was like,
God.
What? And then he said, what was your play about? And I started to try to tell him. I tried to give him the like plot. And then he said, no. Hamlet is about revenge. Macbeth is about ambition. What is your play about? And I was like, well, I'm not Shakespeare, and my play is a comedy. Anyways, so.
It's about love.
I'm not a reviewer. It's not up to me to give.
That's true. But if you had hated the play, or maybe you did, and you're just being nice anyway. So.
I wouldn't tell either way. But genuinely,
great.
Genuinely, this is a highly recommended piece. It's really, really good.
Thank you.
I think, in my subjective opinion. But I'm not a reviewer. It's not fair of me to say that. But I think it's really cool what y'all have done up here. So that's why I make the podcast. I just want to share the word about cool stuff. And this
awesome.
Is very cool. So go see it. Go
we
see a show. It's the name of the podcast.
Cool. Yeah.
Adrian, we've been talking about the genesis of the play and where it came from. And the idea of the podcast is to talk a lot, just as much about the art and the process and why we do these things as we can. Now, I know that you, I heard that you and Eli met. Eli, you go by? Is
mm-hmm.
that correct? Okay. You and Eli met and you read the play and you did a reading out in L.A. You were the artistic director of Cold Core. Cold Core wants to do things of the present.
Mm-hmm.
And why this play? Can you give me like the 4 or 5 sentence? Why does this play...
I don't work within limits.
Good.
I feel like it's so exciting to work on something that has themes that resonate and is working in a genre that I don't see ever in theater, especially downtown theater, alternate present or sci-fi sort of world. I think it really is perfect challenge for theater because... as we learned in the process of making this, the less you show, the scarier it is. And I was like obsessed with some of the sort of apocalyptic stories like The Road and Never Let Me Go specifically, and mental illness and psychopathy and profiling of kids, and I'm obsessed with teenagers, so like all of those things, mother-daughter stuff, fighting for someone and loyalty and trust and surveillance and like when the government is right and when the government is wrong and the gray area, all of those things were kind
time,
of the reason that I wanted to do this play. And because it was impossible, the last like lines of the script are like impossible, and that's really fun challenge.
Yes, the last lines of the script are like, the room fills with water, he drowns, it freezes, the ice cracks.
That was like a really, like,
the
Giannis
Xenakis of playwriting.
Okay, but
here.
Now we just told the ending of the play on the podcast.
But then we changed the play so much because that's the way we work. So it's a different ending. It's a totally different ending.
Yeah, but I also don't think that gives away what happens.
Okay, good.
Yeah, you have...
I didn't say
the
who.
The ice cracks.
Yeah.
Whose ice?
The ice may or may not crack.
Right.
The
we actually cut the ice cracking.
Yeah.
Oh, was there going to be an ice?
There was ice cracking for a while.
That's right.
I'm
going to be repeating myself so much in this one. Sorry, audience. All 4 of you.
I really like your boots.
Wow, thank you. I like your play. You like my boots.
Thank
Look
you.
At this. I'm not one
have
for
these
fashion.
Boots.
I love these.
Okay.
That's all right. You complimented me. How could I not love that? I was listening to the John Russo podcast, mm-hmm. I remember you. Was it you who was running, listening to Ice Cracking?
Mm-hmm.
It was you.
Yeah,
that was awesome. I had this. Yeah, that's the sound design, by the way. I just had this image of you, this woman running through Central Park, listening to Ice Cracking. I was like, man, I could do that. That
like
sounds kind of awesome.
20 different sound samples in a row that were like slated.
That would be like a really good dating profile. It's like. I'm just a hot girl running through Central Park listening to the sounds of ice cracking.
I'm not
super deep. But I'm super warm.
Yeah.
I make your ice crack, baby.
And we go from a theater podcast to Adam Carolla here.
Nice.
Man, I'm just referencing all these other podcasts. This is great.
Yeah,
if we can only get in Radiolab, I'll be all set.
Yeah, Radiolab.
Woohoo.
Brian, love you.
We can talk about cars for a little while.
Oh, yeah, I never listened
those
to
guys,
Car Talk. Those
guys
are stopping.
I know. So.
Well, now all their listeners should come listen to Go See a Show.
Okay.
Your cast is phenomenal.
They are amazing.
What was your process like? You've only been rehearsing for 3 weeks, you said.
Yes, and remarkably impossible constraints of like 25 hours a week of rehearsal allowed. So, fortunately, the way that Colt Court works is we do... you know, work together throughout the year on other shows, and two of the actors I've known for 13 years, and one of them I've known for like 5 years, and the other two like just were born yesterday. So,
and they're both wonderful.
Yeah,
yeah, see, for
incredible.
The kids at least, they're both great.
Colleen Worthman, who plays Charlotte, had been in multiple readings, and the part is sort of written for her.
She's perfect.
She's amazing.
I realized, why is she so familiar? I saw her in Bloody Bloody Andrew Jackson.
Yes.
Yep.
And I finally read her bio after the fact.
Yeah, she's amazing. And they're all amazing. But so, like, Colleen had done it before, and it really got written for her. And then when we cast all these other people, a lot of stuff got rewritten for them, too. So it's really sort of tailored to them.
And we have a lot of fun together outside of rehearsal, like, you know. Having taco dance parties last night, and that really, I think, does help the process. And the designers are all like close and part of the process as much as possible.
Are they all ensemble members of Cold Core?
Almost all of them.
Close associates,
yes.
I guess.
That one is Amy Altadonna. Yeah, and Paloma Young won a Tony last night, our costume designer.
Yeah,
which is I heard. Yeah. I just heard from Jeremy out in the lobby. That's excellent. So, any final thoughts on the play that you'd love to share or you think might help entice people to come and see it? Because, in all honesty, yes, come see this play. It's very, very good. We're at the Wild Project. You open June 12th.
Tomorrow. We run through July 7th. We go 6 nights a week, every night except Wednesdays. It's only 90 minutes. It's air-conditioned. It's really... it'll make you laugh. It'll make you... it's a good date because you can, like, have to lean into your date.
Because it's scary. And it's, like, cool and weird, so, like, then you'll seem really deep.
Mm-hmm. It gives you a lot to think about, I think.
Yeah, lots to talk about after.
You know,
but
bring it's, them to...
hopefully
it's
just
fun.
Is
the big ice cream store around here? You can go grab some ice cream afterward.
Yeah. Sure.
Like, yeah.
Go see it. Go do that.
Yeah. We hope it's really fun. That's our sort of... it's fun. I mean, that's what I like about it.
There are many
laughs.
Seems
like it's, like, a fun show to go to, and... fun show to think about, and the questions that are asked are interesting and scary.
And I think it's fun to go see things where, like, the people making the thing care so much, like, they're, like, obsessed to the point that they, like, are, like, you know, biting each other if, like, one sound cue doesn't go right.
Yeah, Adrian bit me tonight. Almost.
And, like, you know, it's like, we're not, like, lazy in any way. Like,
no.
Fucking
people, you know, the designers basically slept at the theater for the last week. They, none of them have slept.
Gone home. Even John McDermott, our scenic designer, didn't go home for a whole week to make this.
And
this beautiful set.
Yeah.
It was worth his time, it seems.
Yeah.
Congrats. This is a beautiful show. So.
Thanks so much for coming.
Thanks y'all for making stuff that people should see. Go see it. I'll post all the information.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thanks again to Eliza and Adrian for hanging out after the show, after what was, I'm sure, a long week of tech right before they opened. To reiterate, I wasn't just saying this to Eliza in the episode. This one comes highly recommended, y'all, so I hope everyone has a chance to check it out. Recall performs every night except Wednesdays at 8 p.m. from now until July 7th with an added 2 p.m. matinee on July 7th. For tickets, head to thewildproject.com or search Recall at OvationTix. Thanks for listening to the podcast. Please like the Facebook page over at facebook.com/goseeashow, follow the Twitter feed at @goseeashow, and give a rating and a comment on iTunes. It would help immensely. Thanks. And please send any comments and suggestions, praise, or complaints to me at Robbie@goseeashowpodcast.com. Until next time, go see a show.
Thank you, ladies, for staying. I know this is probably the last thing you wanted to do.
It's not. So. It's I want pretty people to see
pretty
it.
High on my list of things. Yeah.
Are you still recording?
No.
You are. You totally are.